The scripture reading is 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. I'll read. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth, and will assure our heart before Him. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 10,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet worldwide, children of and GCN viewing audiences, this is the 32nd session of the lectures on 1 John. In the last session, I talked about chapter 3, verse 16, which is about perfect love. The love that Jesus gave to us is perfect love. It is the love of giving His only life for us. Each person loves in different ways. When parents love their children, if they have 10 children, they love all 10 children in different ways. The depth and the magnitude are all different. They don't love exactly the same. They love a particular child more than other children. I explained that since we have received and realized this love, with this love we also ought to give our lives for our brethren. To give our lives for others does not only mean physically giving our lives, but it rather means we have to die in all things. We have to give up our pride and selfish motives, and instead sacrifice and devote ourselves for other souls. This is the word of God telling us. So the Bible says, if we say to a brother, "You fool," then it's not acceptable. When we give offerings to God, and if you have something against your brother, you have to go leave the offering at the altar, and you have to make peace with your brother, and then come and give the offering. But if you break peace, if you betray others, if you make schemes against your brothers or slander your brothers, and what would happen? To have such love, we first have to cast away sins and evil in our hearts. Right now, two people may confess their love for one another, but as time passes, they may change their minds and seek their own advantages. So it's the same between same with the love between husband and wife. Of course, they get engaged and married because they love each other. But in many cases, so many couples, they change their love. Their love is changed. So as they go on living together, and they mention the word divorce, maybe at least once. Most couples mention the word divorce. It's very rare to find any couple who would never say such the word. There was a research done on the couples. I don't remember exact figures, but anyway, because they seek their own. They say they love each other, but they get angry at each other. One may look down on the other, become jealous, or even betray the other. After all, if we do not cast away evil from our hearts, we cannot have true love. So we can have true love only when we cast away evil from our heart. So you here, you church members here, between husbands and wives, they love each other seriously. So when they come to see me, when the families come, they tell me, they say that if we hadn't met you, senior pastor, or if we hadn't come to this church, we would have already divorced, or I would have committed suicide by now. most couples, most families. But now they met, they came to this church and they learned the truth and they were changed by the truth. So they, as they kept on casting off evil, so as they came to have more and more goodness in their heart, they now came to have true love between each other. In order to cultivate perfect love to give our lives, we diligently have to cast away evil from our hearts, remembering the love that we have received from Jesus. Then we have to cultivate truthfulness that never changes. And then a broad and generous heart, a heart with which we can give everything for others. Up to this verse is the explanation or the fact that we have to cultivate perfect love. The next verse, 1 John 3:17, explains how we are supposed to show this love in actual deeds. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? The love of God cannot abide in him. And if he says he loves God, it's a lie. That's why God's love cannot abide in him. In order to cultivate spiritual love, we must not just cast off evil from our heart, but we also have to show the substantial deeds of love. We shouldn't just love with words, but it has to be followed by actual deeds. James chapter 2 verses 15 to 16 also talks about something similar. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled," and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? So, it cannot be love. You can say anything with words. If you just love with words, what is the use? Without any deeds. Oh, what a pity. Oh, you must be so hungry, so tired. In this cold winter, oh, you don't even have warm clothes. I'm so sorry for you. What's the use of it? You have to give your coat to that person, at least, because you have some other clothes at home. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. So even faith that is not accompanied by deeds is dead faith. So is the love. This is an explanation about faith, but not just faith. It is also about love having no value without the deeds that follow. Just as faith is perfected by the deeds, love can also be recognized only by the accompanying deeds. A famous missionary in China in 19th century went to visit a sick mother and her infant child. Seeing her wretched situation, the missionary was filled with sympathy, but he did not have much with him. He just had little money, about $10, which was for his own living expenses. So he couldn't really give her anything, but thought, if I had just $20, I could give her 10. He just consoled her with words, saying, "Do not be discouraged. Believe in and rely on God the Father, who is full of mercy and love." But he didn't feel comfortable. He heard the voice of his conscience telling him how hypocritical I am to deliver the love of God while I am not helping this poor woman and still holding tightly to my money. Eventually, he gave all he had to that woman and went back with peace of mind. He didn't have anything to eat at the moment, but he was still happy. The next morning, something unexpected happened to this missionary who had nothing to eat. A missionary offering of $40 was delivered to him. which was totally unpredicted. He was thankful to God for giving him daily bread. And he was even happier, for he experienced his good deeds were rewarded by God. If we do not help our brethren, even though the Holy Spirit is urging our heart, then we cannot say we have love in our heart. Some of you might think that you do not have anything and you don't have any strength to help any brethren. But if you have just enough food for one meal and you take a portion of it and share it with a person who is hungry, then it means you are a blessed person. A couple of years ago, there was a family who came to see me. They were telling me. Right after the MBC incident in 99, they were running a shop near Brahme Park. I think it was a restaurant or I'm not sure, but anyway. They were running a shop, and right after the MBC incident, they were being persecuted. It was during our revival meeting, because they had the wall posters of the revival meeting. I think they were in a big compound. Their restaurant was in a mall kind of thing. So people were persecuting them. So they had a hard time running the shop because they had less customers. That's what they were saying. So they had a hard time, and I don't know what happened next, but they couldn't do that, keep on running the shop anymore. So they changed their shop into something. They had the wall posters on their walls, on their restaurants. Even after the incident, they didn't take them off. So, but the result is that they had a hard time. But I didn't really check whether it was true, but I wouldn't just stand quietly. I wouldn't just keep quiet. They were persecuted for the name of the church and also apart because of me, so I helped them several times. I didn't even check whether it was really true. You know, I didn't think they would dare to make up a story before me and, you know, tell me all these things in my office. So I helped them, and now they are a happy family. Both of them became workers, leaders, the husband and wife, and also the children. They were persecuted because of me and the church, and how could I just keep quiet about it? No matter how difficult your situation is, if your children are starving and suffering, you will give food to them by saving from your own food and necessities. In this way, he who understands other people's situations and gives what is necessary to them is the one who has God's love in him. After the broadcasting incident, if I had known, I would have helped. But even if I didn't know about them, God consoled them. And God explained to me many times that those who doubted you, persecuted you, and slandered you or gossiped about you, God settled the account with them, whether according to the magnitude of their sins, they received all their retributions, whether a sickness or hardship or all those things respectively. But those who believed you, trusted you, and loved you, and helped you, those who were not swayed in their faith, God blessed them for sure, and He will keep on rewarding them. God explained to me many times. So when I see those families that receive blessings, they are telling me, they tell me these testimonies. Even though I was a new believer, I never doubted you. My faith was not swayed. My faith was not shaken. I fasted and I prayed for you. And all these people, they received blessings. And even if I didn't know about them and I didn't help them, because God knew them, God knew about them, God blessed them. What kind of being is God? If you are persecuted for the name of, for the kingdom of God and for the church that is loved by God, if you pray for it, if you fast for the kingdom of God and without any passing judgment or condemnation or without any bad criticism on your lips, they are the ones who receive blessings. So you can receive blessings according to your heart, your mind, your honesty, your integrity. Those who follow the righteous way, all of them for sure received blessings. In this way, he who understands other people's situations and gives what is necessary to them is the one who has God's love in him. If you think like, I have so many things I need to buy and I will help others when I'm better off, then even if you earn more, you will still need to buy more things and you still won't see any chance to help others. Even though you're not so well off, if you obey the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help your brethren, then God will surely fulfill your needs. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 9 to 10 says, As it is written, He scattered abroad, He gave to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. This is the word of God, which is the absolutely true, absolute truth. If you show your love as action, God will fill you up more abundantly, and you will be able to help others more. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the highest law that we have to keep is love. Among the deeds of love, the Bible often mentions charitable works. Our church, we are just a church, but we are helping so many households. The amount that I give to God for charitable works is except the amount I'm giving for God. I'm helping people personally even more than that amount. Because I'm giving scholarships for college students. Before, there were many college students who had to take a year off or something because they couldn't afford the tuition fees. So they had to work. They had to earn their tuition fees by themselves. But if their parents can support them, can pay for their tuition, they should. But if the parents can't afford to do that, then if they have to stop to earn the tuition fee, in that case, I'm helping them. I'm paying for their tuitions, even for middle school, high school, and up to college students. And other than those, our church is doing a great deal of charitable works, especially for those who keep their Sabbath holy, the Lord's Day holy, and who give their tithes. If they are still in need for maybe, for example, because of a disability of body or something of that sort, then our church is helping them. So we are helping more than 1,000 households. So you cannot just come and ask, oh, I'm in need and please help me. So you can just apply to the church if you are in need. So the church is helping a lot of households. You cannot just come and personally come to me. If you are really, really a man of God and who who can go to New Jerusalem in the future. And if you have any debt, and I have been helping many people as I made my promise. I'm putting my promise into action. I don't tell everything. You know, I don't tell you everything I'm doing. You know, unknowingly, I'm helping many households. I have conditions. They have to love God and they have to keep the Lord's Day holy and they have to give their tithes. And in those families, if they are having a hard time or you're a leader, if you are a leader in the church, right now you must not have any difficulties, but because of your past mistakes, you have a debt or something, then, if I think about it, if they cannot get out of that situation with their current income for next couple of years, then in that kind of case, I help them to pay back the original principal money of the loan so they can have a little more room in their expenditures. And if you just say you love, and if you just say you help others, what is the use? You have to actually do it. So the pastors, and then Levites, I mentioned, I said that the pastors and Levites, if you have a hard time, hardships or difficult financial situations, so I helped some of the pastors and some of the pastors in branch churches, and I helped some of the full-time workers, those who requested. I did help them, even for Levites. And I'm searching if there is anybody in need who is not asking me to help them. And if I find anybody, I help them as much as I can. So helping, you know, it cannot just, it's not something easy, just with the willingness to help. You know, you have to save your own expenses. You must not buy what you want to buy. You must not eat what you want to eat. And you have to save your own expenses so that you can help others. But in my case, once in the second sanctuary, I was telling the financial committee, do not raise my pay. I always tell them not to raise my salary. But they don't listen to me. I ask them not to, but they do. You know, even if they raise it, I never receive any salary from the church. I never receive any money from the church. So I just give it back to them. So they just keep on increasing my salary. So maybe while when the financial committee is not around, maybe in the second sanctuary, I just sign the document. And even after that, I help more and more and more, increasingly more people in more amount. So to do that, I have to show my deeds. I think my family members were not around there, but I just want to have 3 side dishes on my dining table. That has been my wish since 1999. Just please give me just 3 side dishes. Even before the IMF period in Korea. Right before it took place, I forecasted that such a hard time would come, and that's why I provided bus tokens so that those who are in need, they can have bus fares to come to church, to come and fro. Even before the IMF period. So I was practicing that kind of work because God let me know in advance. So that's what I began, and since then I wanted to have only 3 side dishes. So right after that, right after IMF period broke out, there were students and other people who are in need of bus fares to come to the church. So I prepared those bus fares at the reception office. Some of them, they were getting these bus fares from the reception, but now they've become rich and they give a lot of offerings to God and they help many other people too with thanks for the help they received at that time. So I can have a kimchi or one or two kimchis and one more thing, that would make me the happiest. But even for three side dishes, it's a lot. In my prayer house, there are about four or five side dishes they give me. You know, there are three side dishes, then there's one soup. So it's four. And rice, it'll be five dishes. Sometimes they give me some other kind of jjigae, kimchi jjigae or other jjigae. So it'll be like five, six. So including rice, it'll be six. So I want some fish. So sometimes they, if they send fish, it'll be now seven dishes. It's a lot. You know, the table will be filled. And on top of that, I have my glass of water. Then the table is full. I don't know if the workers in my residence, they will obey or they will have a hard time. Anyway, we'd like to expand, increase the amount of the charitable work. And as I always say, none of you should be poor, none of you should be sick. Because you are going into spirit, because you are going into the rock of faith and spirit, so you don't have any reason to be sick. Even if you get sick, you'll be healed just by receiving one prayer because you don't commit any sins. And those who are seriously sick, when I go to the mountain prayer, after I come back, after I fill myself up with the energy 100%, nobody will be sick. You know, and you have no reason to be sick. So we'll drive away poverty and sickness, and you will just happily lead your life in faith, running towards New Jerusalem. So the top teams in the performing arts committee, as I mentioned about their cars, those who are in the top ranks, I have to remember it, so I proclaim it on the altar. So the performing arts committee, Hallelujah Praise Mission and Heavenly Dance Team, and they are learning driving, and they are busy getting their driver's license. Last week, the Power Worship Dance Team, the leader, she got 100% in her written exam. And it's not something easy. They get the 90 points, 95 points in the written exams. Because I made a promise. Because they know I will keep my promise. So they're trying to get the driver's license. So I'm happy about them. Because they believe my promise. So they are getting the licenses. So if you say something, you have to put it into practice. Of course, if you ask which one is more important, the most important and the greatest act of love is to preach the gospel and plant faith in the souls for their salvation. But because we are living with physical bodies on this earth, we definitely need to meet the physical needs of the people too. Also, as the believers with weak faith experience the love of God by receiving charitable works, they can be more faithful in their lives as Christians. When the sons of Israel were going into the Canaan land, God advised them repeatedly to care for the poor in that land. Deuteronomy chapter 15 verses 10 to 11 says, You shall generously give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because if you grieve when you are giving to others, if you feel wasteful, oh, I should have given a little less, then how can God accept it joyfully? You need to be happy. You should be happy when you are helping others. You are giving your own money, and you should be happy because the other person is relieved from poverty, relieved from hunger, and is relieved from the hard time caused by debt, and that family will be at peace. So you must be happy. With your help, that family recovered happiness. They recovered peace. The conflicts went away. And they can also, if they feel the love and grace of God more, they will lead a better life in faith. And even those children, even if they went astray, I see they would come back. I see many families, you know, among the families that I help. Now they're so good at that, so faithful in their Christian life. Not all of them, but in most cases, yes. So I feel so rewarded. I'm so thankful. You know, you might wonder how I make my money. You know, where does he get all the money to help so many people, to help with missionary works and so on and so forth? I can help others because I am saving my own expenses. I don't go out to eat. That's why I can help. Otherwise, and if I buy all the things I want to buy, and if I eat all the things I want to eat, and if I go on a tours from time to time to other countries, then I can't help others. So you shall generously give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all your undertakings. So the Lord your God will bless you for your good work. Will God just keep quiet after seeing your good work? He will want to give you so much, pressed down, shaken together, and running over 30, 60, 100 times more. And if God wants to give you, you definitely will receive. For the poor will never cease to be in the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, You shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy, and poor in your land. God told him to remember the poor and give generously to them when they had a feast after harvest, or at other times of joy and sharing. When they were fasting to receive an answer from God, they still had to have mercy on the poor. When in Israel, when they were harvesting the barley, according to the command of God, they left the some of the barley in the field. So the poor people, they came and gleaned the field so they could also live. When the prophets were prophesying the forthcoming calamities on Israel for their corruption, God sternly rebuked them for forsaking the poor along with their other evil deeds. So God is so pleased with helping the needy. In the book of Acts, we see in the early church, they were selling their own possessions to help the poor, help the needy, to share with everybody. That is early church. And our church is becoming like the early church. Many members, they're trying hard. Many of them are helping others because they are going into spirit more and more. If you go into spirit, they don't want, they don't spare anything. You know, they rejoice giving to others. The same goes for the New Testament times. In the early church, the believers sold their possessions and shared with everybody so that there would be no one who was poor or hungry in the church. Apostles like Peter and Paul kept on saying they were thinking of the poor all the time, and they encouraged the believers to help the needy. I tell you, brothers and sisters, once again, it is a duty for the believers to help those who are in need. That is why the all-time prayer point of our church includes charitable work along with national and world evangelism. The time is coming for me to go out to the church councils. I was going out to the church councils too. Yes, I was. Some of you might be wondering. Yes, last year and the year before, I was going out and I met with many pastors and the Christian press that is laying the foundation for actual work. And most of them, they were supporting me. They would welcome me to be active in the church councils. They were asking me to act more quickly. And today, the chief editor of a Christian press, the chief editor, yes, right, he was telling me, senior pastor, please publish the book of the lectures on Revelation. And other pastors, I think this series of lectures on Revelation is appearing in his newspaper, in his series. So many pastors are, they want this lecture. So they want to have this whole script as a whole book. So they want it to be published as a book as quickly as possible. And he was saying, today in the church council, nobody is talking anything about you. They are just, some of them are saying, when will he come out to church councils to be active? But nobody is actually criticizing or condemning us. Nobody is. And when you visit somebody, or if there is any relatives who is using that kind of word like heresy, it means you're misbehaving. What kind of time is it now? You know, is there anybody who is still mentioning that word? You know what it is, that word. You know what that word is, right? If there is anybody who is mentioning that word, it means they don't know what is going on in this world, in the Christian world. It's been so many years since I finished my mission in Israel. You know, in Israel, you cannot preach the gospel. And in that place, I preached that Jesus Christ is the Savior before so many people in Jerusalem. Is there any pastor who hasn't even heard this kind of news and they still condemn us as heretical or something? You know, if you meet with any of those people, it's been published and there have been so many news articles that the Reverend Jedok Lee, a priest, proclaimed Jesus Christ as the only Savior in Jerusalem, in the center of Jerusalem, in the biggest convention center in Jerusalem. And most pastors, they know. And, oh, pastor, don't you know? How come you know only bad news? And those bad news, you know, all those news are not true. And how can they say anything more? How do you behave yourself that people are still criticizing you? You know, the chief editor of Christian Press, he has all the information because he's a pressman. And many people heard together with me. You know, my sermons are being appearing in his newspaper every week in a series, and nobody's objecting to it. And so many people, so many pastors, they love my sermons. So that they have more readers now because of my articles, my sermons. So you should know what is really going on. When I was a new believer, I was praying that I would become a wealthy elder of the church and help everyone so that nobody would be in need in the church. And I will make this happen. I have become a pastor now, but still my hope is that no one in our church should be hungry or cold, and none of our students should stop studying because they cannot afford the tuition fees. And also the pastors, they shouldn't, those going to be pastors, they shouldn't have any difficulties. So the first cycle, first group, I'm helping them. Not so much, but I'm helping them with a little bit of amount, so they will not have to worry about their tuition fees and their living expenses. I pay for their tuition, so they can also, they don't have to rely on their parents. They can have their own allowances, you know, to get a haircut or to buy books. So they can just concentrate on the Word of God and prayer without having to worry about anything else, so that they will become excellent pastors. That is why I have been doing my best in helping the needy, tightening up my own belt. God then blessed me abundantly and let me do missionary and charitable work more greatly. So because I'm helping so many people, do I have less? Do I get into hardships? The more I help, God gives me, the more God gives to me, so I become more and more wealthier. So it is the case with our church too. We have been helping other churches that asked for our help since right after the opening of our church. We never thought that we can't help others since we don't have enough for our own church, and it is hard to help the needy in our church alone. Instead, we just tried our best to help other churches. Then God blessed us more and more so we could do more missionary and charitable works. Today we are supporting many churches and missionaries around the world with all our strength. So we have commissioned so many missionaries. I don't know exactly how many worldwide, but I think we are the number one church and the number of branch churches. But we have more than 10,000. And every week, maybe not every week, but almost every week, we have scores of branch churches are being added. We have a team who is on a missionary trip in Thailand. And 40 churches have joined as branch or associative churches. So wherever we go, you know, they want to become a branch churches and associative churches of Manmin, except in South Korea. But even for South Korea, even for Korea, when I go out to the church councils, the situation will change. So when we were helping other churches, then God blessed us more and more so we could do more missionary and charitable works. This is all done by faith. You know, if you look at the reality of the things, you cannot do it. You know, even if there isn't anything, you don't see it. You just believe in the goodwill of the Father God, and you just do it by faith, and God will work according to your faith. This is faith. If you see the reality, actuality of things, then it's not faith. You know, faith is to create something out of nothing. It is to do something that you cannot really do. It is, faith is to change something impossible into something possible. That is why it is the evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen. You know, it's not there, but because you believe and do it anyway, it will be there. The substance will be there, even though it's not there right now. If you just do it by faith, the substance will appear by your faith. This is faith. So you have to show this kind of faith. So if you have true heart, you can have this kind of perfect faith, and so you can show this kind of faith. So first you have to have a true heart, sincere heart. You have to cast away all forms of evil and fill yourself with the truth. So you have a true and sincere heart. And you can have perfect faith from above. So with this perfect love, you can, God says, it'll be done according to your faith. Otherwise, there'll be so many problems. God gives you this faith and it'll be done according to your faith. So if you just, if anything is done according to your faith, if you just fast and pray to become a president, then you will just become the president. So there'll have to be so many presidents. So this faith has to be given from above. So to receive this faith, you have to prepare the vessel to receive this faith. So all you believers, including elders, there should be so many big business people, you know, of big companies or at least medium-sized companies. If you just obey, it'll be possible, but you don't obey. You say amen, but you have to put it into practice. In actuality, sometimes I test you, but you don't obey. Maybe this time you will. This car, you know, since long time ago I've been mentioning that you shouldn't have black colors, but they didn't obey. What else will they obey? If they, you know, in their homes, they have black colors or similar to black colors. They have innerwears that are almost black because it's just not seen. That they say they love God and they love the shepherd. But this time, thankfully, but they are throwing away all the black colors and they're changing their cars. Even new believers, they are changing their cars. Even luxurious, expensive cars. So I am very thankful that all the church members are doing so. I believe God cannot help but bless us because we are pleasing God so much. So even today, we are supporting many churches and missionaries around the world with all our strength. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when you help those who are in need, you should remember a couple of things. God can give you back blessings only when you help others in the truth. So you have to keep this in mind. Oh, you shouldn't just say, I'm helping so many people. You have to help those who are those whom you can help. And if you help those whom you shouldn't be helping, then you'll have problems. So God can give you back blessings only when you help others in the truth. First, you should not help those who are suffering a hardship as a punishment for their sins before God. We can learn this from those sailors who helped Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, but he didn't want to obey it. So he took a ship that was going to Tarshish, which is in the opposite direction. This ship encountered a storm in the middle of the sea, and they had to throw out all their luggage. The sailors came to know that the storm was caused by Jonah, and it would calm down only by throwing Jonah out to the sea. But they could not do that immediately because of human sympathy. The sailors, I think they were good-hearted. So they couldn't just throw away Jonah right away. They knew that all the storms were caused, all the difficulties were caused by Jonah, but they didn't throw him away right away. Jonah said, throw me out into the sea, but they didn't want to do that right away, but only after they... So they had to struggle against the storms for quite a while, and only when their own lives were threatened did they throw Jonah out, as in the above case. if somebody is in trouble due to his commission of sin, we should first help him turn from his sins. If we keep on helping financially, even though he keeps on committing sins, the helpers can also suffer together with the sinner. If you disobey God and commit sins, and if you are receiving punishment from God, and if you help that kind of person, it is same as standing against God. Also, being lazy is not a sin before God, but it is not right to unconditionally help those who are too lazy to work. They are too lazy to work, and why would you help them? Those drug addicts, you shouldn't help them. You know, they're harming themselves. Or gamblers, you shouldn't help gamblers. You're supporting them. You're giving the money for them to gamble more. So it means you're committing sins too. If you help those who are too lazy to work, it means you're helping him to be more lazy. So that kind of help is not right in the sight of God. These people, they are healthy, but they are too lazy to work. So you shouldn't help these people. So there are people whom you should help, and while there are others whom you shouldn't help. This is, in a sense, making that person lazier and even more incapable. So we should have discernment too as to whether it is right before God to help the needy in each case. So when I help others, I have conditions. If they keep the Lord's Day holy and give their tithes. If they don't keep the Lord's Day holy or give tithes, it means they don't believe in God and they are standing against God and I cannot help them. So even the charitable work committee, they are taking this into consideration if they keep the Lord's Day holy, if they give the tithes. Or if they are too old and they don't receive any support from their children, or if they're too sick, so they can't work. And if so these are usually the ones whom we help. Or if they are in a difficult situation because of some trouble. And if you love God and if you try to live by the word of God in the truth, they are eligible to receive the help from the church. One more thing we have to remember is that we cannot receive any reward from God if we help the poor to make our names known and to boast of it. You know, you help others to brag about it, then you cannot receive any help, blessing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 2 says, "So when you give to the poor, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full." Oh, I'll help this poor person, I help this person, that person. If you brag about it, you already receive honor from other people. Oh, he is such a good man. He is helping others. So you have already received the honor, so God cannot give you anything more. Because you have already earned your reward from the people. This kind of charitable work is not true charity. So we help so many other people, but none of it is printed on newspapers or any other press. You know, usually the companies, they give just a little amount of money. Their names are on the TV or newspapers. But we don't. When the children of God help others, they must not do it to brag about it, but to deliver the love of God and save the souls. Suppose in your business, you give some of your possession or asset as a collateral or something for somebody else. Because you are even for your family members, because you are disobeying the word of God, you'll definitely be in a difficult situation if you give your own assets for other people as collateral or something. You will have hardships. You have to have the word of God first as the first priority. But the, you think your affection, your love between brothers or family members is more than the word of God. So you become a guarantor or you give your own asset as a collateral for somebody else's debt, somebody else's loan. If you really care for your brother, you cannot ask your brother to give you any collateral to become your guarantor. That is not love. And if your brother doesn't help you, you say, oh, you are not my brother. How can you not help me? How can that be love? It's not love between brothers. Even if your brother doesn't become your guarantor, and you say to your brother, or you should say to your brother, you're trying to live by the word of God, and it is not your fault. I gave you a hard time by asking you to become my guarantor, and I will not hold any grudges against you. This is what you're supposed to do. But if you say, oh, how can you not help me while I'm in this difficult situation? If he has enough, more than enough, he should help you. But, you know, he doesn't have enough for himself. That's why he has to give his asset or something as a collateral. That is why you're putting him into a, you're jeopardizing his own comfort too. I will stop here. So whenever you just listen to the message, please just keep it in your mind. Do not think like, oh, I'll go back home and remember it. No, you just keep it in mind right away. We have to practice our love. And just love with words is not true love, and we have to put it into practice. And when we help others, we have to help those who we are supposed to help. Because we are helping those whom we are not supposed to help, we cannot receive any blessings back from God. So when we help, we have to help proper people. Helping others cannot always be good charitable work. Sometimes you are helping them to do more evil things. You are making them more evil. So if you help those who are standing against God, you will suffer together. So you have to have discernment among these different cases so you can receive blessings by helping the poor, helping the needy. So after helping those who you are not supposed to help, and if you wonder why you are not receiving any blessings, then now you know the reason why. That's why we have to learn the word of God. You have to understand it, keep it in your mind, and practice it so you will definitely receive the blessings. Let us pray together thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your love and grace. Let this message become faith and life. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Let us have clear understanding of your word and let us put it into practice. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Let us pray. I pray for the sick. Lay your hands on sick parts. Heavenly Father, thank you from head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Father, show your works, heal them, transcending time and space. Adam, Samuel of Israel, depression, go away. Eunice, Samuel, let her get the marriage certificate in Israel and let her get the citizenship too and give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. Light come. Timur of Cyprus, release him from drug addiction. Set him free from drug addiction. Beth Kalevich of Belarus has cerebral paralysis. Let all the internal organs, including heart, function properly. Missionary Kim we'll have a leadership conference in Gil and Chun, Jing and Fong area during the month of March. Be with her, let many people gather and be blessed by the messages. Li Hua, lymphatic cancer, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you. All the entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them and cleanse them. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. The whole heart and liver and lungs and intestines and kidney, all the entrails be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. All the cancers be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light come. Skin diseases go away. Be cleansed. Father, heal them and bless them and touch them. Give them spiritual and physical health. Father, thank you. Give them peace throughout this week. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen.